Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.
Tonight, there will be no regrets and nothing to do over. Even though I made a few mistakes in life, I learned from everything I broke as I got older. If it's the last day I'm alive, don't cry or kill the vibe. I just want the ones I love, it's smiling by my side.
So call my friends, tell them cancel your plans, come round, I'll have a few. Bring all the family, dad, mom, grandpa too. Dance with my girl, spin around in the air, and find a corner with her. Kisses between the words, it was always you. Swing me high.
Chariot there, Westlife's new song. They are the latest act to hop on the country bandwagon. Well, folks, put on your Spurs and Stetsons there, because Jen Gannon is here to talk us through some of the biggest stars making this country crossover and their reasons for doing it. Good morning, Jen. Thanks.
Hello.
For coming in. How are you?
Yeehaw.
So, it's recognisably Westlife. Is there a key change in there?
Oh, they'll be standing up at some point off their stools. Don't worry about that, fans. Okay. But I don't think it, I mean, there should be any surprise at Westlife going a little bit country. Now, I'm saying a little bit country because you can hear from that. It's not exactly, it's neo-country. There's a bit of Avicii, Hey Brother in there with a bit of that kind of Lumineers, Stomp, Clamp, Hey, that music that tortured, I think, a lot of millennials in the 2010s. It kind of harkens back to that. And I think that they know their audience extremely well.
Well, they need, don't they, something anthemic, something that's going to be comparable to all of the other big songs for this comeback tour.
And I think this is a savvy move, because I feel like it's the music that their fans are listening to, that have grown up with them. It's not your usual ballad. It's something a little bit more contemporary. And it also reflects probably the music they're listening to too. So,
but
I
it is a move. It's
it is
not
a move.
Organic.
It's shrewd. It's a shrewd parlay into something that you know is so successful. Because, I mean, if you look at like Luke Combs adding Another Night of Slaying, then you had Zach Bryan selling out Phoenix Park in the summer for three nights. Country is big business. So Westlife are really savvy, and they know they've been that long in the business. They know where their audience is going, and I think they want to reflect that. So I don't think it's this massive about turn. I think it's just something that they're trying out, just maybe to embrace their fandom a little bit more.
Well, the success that they are all trying to emulate is, of course, this.
This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. Ooh. And throw your keys up. Hey. Stick around, round, 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 round.
Stick around.
And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a hey. Come take it to the floor now. Woo! There's a tornado.
There's a tornado
in my city.
In my city.
In the basement.
The basement.
That ain't pretty.
Ain't pretty.
Rugged whiskey.
Rugged whiskey.
We surviving.
We surviving.
A wreck of kisses, sweet redemption, passing time, yeah. Ooh. One step to the right. We headed to the dive bar we always thought was nice.
She is, of course, a living deity. She can do absolutely no wrong. I do love her. But did that work for Beyoncé?
I think so. I think there was a lot of controversy around Cowboy Carter, the album, when it came back out. And I think she has this lineage, this about being a proud Texan. And she, you know, has referred to...
Houston girl.
Yeah, like she's referred to herself like in Formation as, they'll never take the country off me. So it was about maybe introducing the fact that country is ingrained in Black history, country music. And a lot of country purists, quote unquote, took offence to that almost. And I think she's dabbled in country music before on her previous albums. You had That's Why You're Beautiful, Satellite, Smashing to You off the I Am Sasha Fierce album. So it's not an an outward move. It was something that she always wanted to do, and she had lessons on Lemonade as well.
It was always going to cop a bit of flack, though, wasn't it? Because before this, you had Lil Nas and Old Town Road, and it was really made quite obvious that an awful lot of country fans did not like a black person singing country songs.
Exactly, and it happened to Beyonce as well previously before that, because she submitted Daddy Lessons in the Grammy category for Best Country Song, and the Recording Academy's Country Music Committee rejected it outwardly. And the Grammys seem to hold this categorization very tightly, the reins on it, the genre, and it's bizarrely oppressive. And Lil Nas X in 2019, it featured, Old Town Road featured the country star Billy Ray Cyrus.
Well, it didn't in the first version, did it?
It did that? Later on, but then it was removed from Billboard's country charts then in 2019. And then even somebody like Tina Turner, who is Beyonce's idol, and she's studied and emulated her since childhood, she had that 1974 album, Tina Turns the Country On, and that was supposed to maybe forward her into a Dolly Parton kind of situation as this global star of any genre of music. And there was pressure for Tina to move away from the genre. So when it comes to like blending genres, I do feel there hasn't been a lot of progression. And I think Beyonce has tried to break that down with the Cowboy Carter album. And on the tour, I think a lot of people saw exactly where she's coming from.
Well, maybe the brave thing there was that in terms of blending, she was doing this by herself. She wasn't doing a collaboration, which is how so many others have successfully managed to make that genre transition.
Mm. But also, I think it's very much part of the three-volume project that she wanted to do, starting with Renaissance, the disco-flavoured LGBTQ indebted album. So she's about reclaiming black roots in popular music. So you have Renaissance, then you have Cowboy Carter, and now the third act is apparently going to be rock music. So I cannot wait to see what she does with that and what conversations she's going to start around that, which I think is necessary and I think brilliantly done.
You are a mega fan of this next artist.
Dancing, this is where I want to be with you, your arms wrapped around me and fireworks reflecting in your eyes. This is how I wanna feel, the wine, the kiss, the music, feeling, getting down, riding all the highs. Can't stand still, won't slow down. When I go out, I wanna go out dancing. When I go out, I wanna go out dancing.
Okay, very obviously Kylie. She does do the twang very convincingly, but it's still Kylie and it doesn't really seem to fit.
Yeah, I felt with this album, I mean, look, it was a natural fit in some ways because I do think she is our disco Dolly Parton and she is our diminutive icon of the pop world, and that's fine. But I did think with the Golden album, it felt like there was a lot of banjos being stapled on to disco songs or pop songs. It felt a little bit like a Texas Roadhouse chain restaurant rather than something authentic, as you'd say. But I think when those elements were dialed down, when you had something like Rain and Glitter and it married this country balladry with disco music, that was the Kylie we know and love. But I think what she was doing at that time was maybe there was a bit of fear around what to do with Kylie at a certain age, as all women in music get that feeling that you're going to be at the end of the dumper at some point. And they wanted to maybe shift her into Emma Ware, more adult-focused Radio 2 style music. And then thankfully, she realigned herself and remembered who she was. And she's like, no, I'm a dance floor artist. So after this album, she went back into disco and then came Padam, which just juggernauted everywhere on the Tension album. So I think what she's done is she's now realised how comfortable she is with these Saturday night bangers in that space. And I don't think something like country music is something she'll be rushing back to experiment with again. I think it was a moment in time. Yeah. You know,
fair play, Kylie, because the voice hasn't changed. She might not be able to bend over backwards as the way that she once was in spinning around videos.
I think so. I think she's willing to give it a go. She's out there. She's doing it. She's doing it better than I could.
The renowned shapeshifter Lady Gaga has turned her hand to country as well. But back in 2016.
Girl, where
The title track from the album, Joanne. It's grand, but, you know, when compared to the other material,
yes,
it's not really in the same league, is it?
No, and I think if you're being cynical about the Joanne album, it was released 2016. It was around the time when Gaga was trying to break into Hollywood, and then the next year you had A Star Is Born. So I think this was a lot about calming things down, dialing things back, not making the very conservative people in Hollywood scared, like the meat dress would, and all the theatrics that went with those albums previously, like Born This Way. And I think she dialed herself right down with this album, saying she wanted to bring it back to basics and make herself a serious artist in their eyes.
But
and
you kind of post Star Is Born, Lady Gaga isn't as much fun.
Oh, she definitely is now. Chromatica was a great lockdown album, and
what
then this
I
new
know?
Album.
What would I know? Yeah,
she's still like, I think she's like Kylie onto that. She's gone back to what she does best, and she knows herself more now. Is maybe more confident in to say, I can do anything, but I'd rather do this, and that's what's great about her, I think. But I would have liked her to do a bit more of a Rick Rubin, Johnny Cash, dark country album, I think, if she really wanted to go for it, which Joanne wasn't. It kind of just sounded very anodyne. And we weren't learning a lot about her for an album that she said was her most personal. It
now,
didn't feel like that.
That is an interesting idea. Okay, little snatch of Tina Turner's country moment. America had no problem with her doing Proud Mary, which is a little bit, well, quite a lot country, really, isn't it? But America did not like this album.
No, and even something like Nutbush, City Limits, which is like very country, has that country twang, country rock twang from it, was, you know, about growing up in the South and her roots and what life was like for someone like who's a country girl. And I think with this album, there was featured songs from Dolly Parton, Kris Kristofferson. It was a song with such passion about growing up in Tennessee and how these songs, you know, meant so much to her. But I think that the listeners, they were quite narrow-minded when it came to it. I think Tina's vocals, as we know, it's a universal instrument. She could have done anything with her voice. And I think she really enjoyed the country genre. It's what she grew up on. And for her to be rejected by that community, it felt really sad. It's a missed opportunity. A
must
great album.
Must have been cruel. Must have been cruel. I can't help but think overall, though, that all of these people are racing towards country. While Taylor Swift, the most successful recording artist of the generation, is heading very much in the opposite direction. That is the point we'll debate on some other occasion.